Chapter 10. The next morning, my ribs were so sore I had trouble getting out of bed. I wanted to get to school early for breakfast, but I couldn't move fast enough. At one point, I sneezed, and it felt like my whole chest was ripping apart. The pain brought tears to my eyes. Downstairs, I saw Larry hadn't even gone to bed. He was sprawled asleep on the living room couch. The TV was still turned on. At school, Dez and Tyree spotted me trying to walk down the hall. "Oh man, Ben, what happened?" Dez asked. "You okay?" "Fell down the steps." Tyree rolled his eyes and looked at Dez. They knew the truth. "Come on, bro, let's get you to the nurse or something. You gotta tell somebody." "No," I snapped. It hurt to talk. "Just leave me alone." In English, I hunched over my desk trying to hide the pain. The class was discussing Frederick Douglass, but I had nothing to say. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Mr. Mitchell, Jamie, and Cindy watching me. They looked worried. In the middle of Mr. Najjar's class, Miss Spencer knocked on the door and came in. "Ben McKee, come with me," she said firmly. "There's a visitor here to see you." The class stared and whispered as I slowly got up. We walked down the hallway together. I could feel her watching my every move, so I tried my best to walk normally. "You okay on your feet, Ben?" she asked. "You look like you're in a lot of pain." "Yeah, I fell down the steps," I said. "Ain't no big thing." Miss Spencer sighed and shook her head. "I wish I'd known about it sooner. There are some times when you boys just need to speak up and trust us adults." I kept quiet as she led me into her office. But as she closed the door, I turned and almost fell over at what I saw next. There, in a dark blue business suit, was Aunt Faye. "Oh, Ben," she said, throwing her arms around me. I closed my eyes and felt tears suddenly streaming down my face. I couldn't stop them if I tried. Nothing could. "This is my fault, too. I should have known when your mother called me last week. She never calls," Aunt Faye said, her own voice shaking. "All this time you've been a quiet young man of steel. But steel's not enough. You've got to know when to ask for help. This is the time, Ben. Tell us exactly what's been going on." "It's nothing. I just..." My voice broke up. I couldn't lie anymore, not with the tears in my eyes, not with Aunt Faye in my face. "Ben, pull up your shirt. Let us see what's hurting you so bad," Miss Spencer said. I looked at them both. I knew what they would see if I pulled the shirt up. All the swelling and the ugly fish-shaped bruises and welts. For a second, I couldn't move. "Please, Ben, let us help," Miss Spencer urged. "It's okay, Ben," Aunt Faye said, her eyes glistening. "You're safe now." I closed my eyes and slowly raised my shirt, grunting at the pain. Miss Spencer gasped.
"Lord have mercy,"
Aunt Faye said. "Mr. Mitchell and his students were right, Faye," Miss Spencer said. "After I spoke with Ben's other teachers, I knew something bad was happening at home. That's when I called you," she added. "But I didn't realize it was this bad." Fire burned in Aunt Faye's eyes, and she hugged me again, gently this time.
"Is he doing this to your mother, too?"
she asked me, her voice full of rage. I nodded. Aunt Faye shook her head angrily.
"Florence, call the police right now," she ordered.
Miss Spencer grabbed the phone and started dialing. The closed office was suddenly quiet, except for the hum of the fluorescent lights overhead. For a few long seconds, we waited as Miss Spencer's call went through. I knew what I would have to do next. Tell the truth to the police, make it happen, just like Mr. Graham said. But I was scared.
"This is the principal at Blueford High School," said Miss Spencer into the phone, cutting the awkward silence. "I have a case of domestic violence to report. The victims are one of my students and his mother."
She then told the officer what she knew and handed me the phone.
"You need to tell the police what's been happening, Ben," she said. "Tell them everything."
I took the phone. My hands were shaking and my throat was suddenly dry. I didn't even think I could talk.
"Go on, Ben," Aunt Faye urged, gently rubbing my back. Do this for yourself and your mom. I raised the phone to my ear. Hello? Said a man's voice. Ben, are you there? This is Officer Whittington. I want to help you, the voice continued. Hello, Ben? Go on, Aunt Faye repeated. Miss Spencer nodded. I took a deep breath and let the truth spill out. First, I described each beating and each threat. Aunt Faye moaned as I mentioned the night I spent on the steps, listening to Larry punch Mom. Then I described the holdup at Graham's and that I'd seen Donald behind that ski mask. I also revealed what Larry's eyes proved to me, that he'd sent Donald to do his dirty work and rob the store. Officer Whittington asked lots of questions. I could tell he was writing everything down. When I was done, he said I was brave and that he'd like me to come to the station. He then asked to speak to Miss Spencer. You probably saved Geneva's life, said Aunt Faye as they spoke. That man is out of control, and from the sounds of things, he's getting worse. I don't even want to think about what would have happened if y'all moved again, she added with a shudder. The police are sending a car to the house right now to pick Larry up, Miss Spencer announced, hanging up the phone. After the school nurse did a quick examination of my ribs, Aunt Faye and I left Blueford and went straight to the house to meet Mom. She would be home from work soon, and we wanted to be there the second she stepped off the bus. Your mother's world's being torn apart again. She's going to need us more now than ever, Aunt Faye explained as we left. Better she hear everything from us instead of the police. As we pulled up to our house, I noticed a black and white patrol car parked at the curb. Two officers were inside. Larry's Dodge was missing. Why are they just sitting there? I asked, but I knew the answer. Larry hadn't been caught. Aunt Faye looked tense. She parked her car and told me to stay inside. She then got out as one of the officers rushed over to us. I listened as Aunt Faye introduced herself. I could hear them talking low, and then the officer's radio crackled to life. A voice came through loud and clear. Suspect has been apprehended. The officer asked a few quick questions and nodded and smiled. Looks like they just picked him up at a liquor store 6 blocks from here, Miss Jordan, he announced. Thank the Lord, Aunt Faye replied with a sigh, wiping her forehead. I felt weeks of stress drain from my body. You can all relax. From what Officer Whittington says, Larry Taylor's not going to be bothering you or Mr. Graham anymore, he added, heading back to his car. Seconds later, he drove off. Lock him up and lose the key. Any man who beats his wife and kid like that doesn't deserve to be on the street, she fumed as she returned to the car. There are no excuses. It felt so good to hear her say what I'd known for so long. It was a dream come true. Thank you for coming back for us, I said, my voice breaking. I missed you, especially your cooking, I added, feeling myself smile for the first time in weeks. I missed you too, baby, she replied with a grin of her own. You know, that's a good idea. I haven't had a bite to eat since I left North Carolina early this morning, and I know you're hungry. I'll go get us some sandwiches. Then when your mom gets here, we'll eat as a family. Afterward, we can go back to my place and figure out what happens next. Sounds good to me, I replied, grateful she was in charge again. You wait here for your mom. But don't tell her what happened until I get back, Aunt Faye said. Let's do that together. I nodded and got out of the car. For once, I wasn't afraid. Aunt Faye was back, and Larry was behind bars. We were finally safe. Even my ribs felt better as I went back inside and went up to my room. I was getting clothes for the night when I heard something that stopped me cold. A familiar metal thud. I knew the sound. Larry's Dodge. How could it be? Did the police make a mistake? I looked out my bedroom window and spotted Larry dashing toward the front door. He was gazing up at me, a crazed look in his eyes. I was trapped. My room wasn't safe. The door was half broken already, and Larry knew it. He'd smash through in seconds. I had to move somewhere else, fast. I rushed to the second floor, my ribs aching with each step. I heard the front door downstairs slam. He was in the house. Time was running out. Without a sound, I crept into Larry and Mom's bedroom and hid against the wall. He thundered past on his way to my room.
"You're done, Ben! I told you not to snitch!"
he yelled like a wild man.
"Cops just busted my best friend 'cause of you!"
I heard him two-step up the stairs to the third floor. In seconds, he'd figure out I wasn't there. "Move," I told myself. I flew out of his bedroom and ran downstairs as fast as my feet would take me. He must have heard the noise. A second later, he was coming down, too. I couldn't outrun him, not with the knives of pain slicing into my ribs. I landed on the bottom step and dashed across the living room. I was ready to bolt out the front door when I saw Aunt Faye coming up the steps. I couldn't let Larry get to her. Never. There was no more running for me. Instead, I turned to face him. Larry reached the bottom step and darted at me. I threw one punch, hoping to buy Aunt Faye some time. It hit his jaw, but he didn't even blink. He swung his right hand like a sledgehammer at my face. I raised my arm to block it. Crack. Pain exploded through my arm as the blow knocked me backward into our TV. I crumpled to the floor, my arm broken and useless.
"Leave him alone," Aunt Faye yelled. "You got 2 minutes till the police throw your butt in jail where you belong. I called them myself when I saw your car."
Larry turned on her with an ugly sneer.
"Woman, you got no sense. I told you to stay out of my business, but you wouldn't listen. You deserve what's coming to you."
He moved toward her, but Aunt Faye didn't flinch. She stepped directly up to him, her eyes blazing.
"Yeah, go on. Hit a woman, you coward. Hit me and add 10 more years to your jail time."
She jutted her jaw at him and put her hands on her hips, standing there defiant in her suit. For a second, Larry hesitated, but I knew it wouldn't last. Aunt Faye was making a mistake. His arms tensed up then. He was about to strike. I had a half second to act. With his back turned, Larry couldn't see me stand up, gritting my teeth against the pain. He couldn't see me lower my shoulder. He couldn't see me hurling my body. But he felt it. I rammed my shoulder right at his knees, knocking his legs out from under him. He tumbled on me, crushing my chest and arm, but I didn't care anymore.
"Get out of here, Aunt Faye!"
I screamed.
"Go!"
Larry scrambled to his feet, rage in his eyes. His boots were inches from my face. I remembered the day he kicked me on the steps and saw the sick idea spread across his face. I knew what was coming, and there was nothing I could do to stop it.
"He's gonna kill me," I thought.
Larry leaned forward, ready to stomp. I braced myself and lowered my head when Aunt Faye threw herself over me.
"Don't touch him,"
she yelled, protecting me with her body. We were cornered. Suddenly there was movement and shouting at the front door.
"Taylor, freeze right now!"
The two police officers from before burst into the room, clubs drawn.
"Don't even think about moving,"
one said to Larry. Within seconds, they cuffed him and led him away. That's when Mom came rushing up the steps, a look of panic on her face. The second she saw us on the floor, she began sobbing, her eyes focused on my swelling arm.
"What did he do?"
Aunt Faye grabbed her and held her tight.
"It's over, Geneva," she said. "You and Ben are safe now."
Aunt Faye drove us straight to the emergency room, where my arm was x-rayed. A nurse gave me a shot that took away the pain. Then a doctor set the break in a cast. Mom cried the whole time, but Aunt Faye talked to her and calmed her down. Afterward, we sat in the car and ate the sandwiches Aunt Faye bought. It didn't matter that they were soggy. They were the best sandwiches we'd ever tasted. Later, at the police station, Officer Whittington came up and introduced himself. "There was a mix-up. The man we picked up at the liquor store was Donald Gates, not Larry Taylor," he explained. "Mr. Gates has given us a full confession. It turns out your stepdad planned the entire robbery. He's been charged with aggravated assault and battery against you and your mom, and with felony robbery against Mr. Graham. He'll be going away for a long time, count on it," the officer promised. With Aunt Faye's encouragement, Mom signed statements saying that Larry assaulted us. I watched as she nervously scribbled her signature on each page. When we finally walked out of the station, Aunt Faye was between us, holding our hands. It was the three of us again, like the days before Larry. Mom was quiet, but there was a soft look in her eyes. I think she was beginning to remember life without fear. On Aunt Faye's face was a quiet determination.
"The world's such a dangerous place, you know," she said to us. "That's why we have to stick together. I need to be here for the two of you. We're family, and family sticks together."
Maybe it was the painkiller, or maybe it was Aunt Faye's words, but my spirit soared. The pain and fear were finally gone, as if a spring rain had washed them away. I thought of Mr. Graham, Alice, and everyone at Blueford. I had much to tell them and many people to thank, people who cared when I was in trouble, even though I pushed them away. And I had other things to do, too, like go to that party with Cindy and her friends. Make it happen. Mr. Graham's advice echoed in my head. The words had new meaning for me, and I was ready to listen. "I will, Mr. Graham," I said to myself. "I will." The sky was dark as we walked out to Aunt Faye's car, but deep in my chest, the sun was shining, and it was brighter than ever.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Blueford series of books, Search for Safety, written by John Langan and read by Jameel Gaines. This book was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.